Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for English learners. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington. It's August 15th, 2016. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. And we often explain words and language rules. All through stories from here in America and around the world. This is what you will hear on today's program. Brazil is hosting the Summer Olympic Games, but deep problems are affecting the country. You will hear a story about Brazil's current political and economic problems. Then, Marcia James tells us the story of a Syrian man who was a refugee all his life until he found a home in America. Dan Friedel tells us another immigrant story about a man from Italy who brought the sweet dessert gelato with him to the U.S. And in health news, Ann Ball tells us how our sniffer, our nose, may help us fight infection. But first, Ann tells us about a barrier many women call the glass ceiling that blocks their progress to high-level jobs.
2016 is a big year for American women. Last month, Hillary Clinton became the first woman to receive a major party nomination for president in the United States. But does her nomination mean all restrictions on women and their careers are gone? The term glass ceiling is often used to describe an unseen barrier that stops women and minorities from moving up in their careers. American small business owners said in an opinion survey that the glass ceiling remains in place, even with Hillary Clinton running for president. Bank of America contacted 1,001 business owners from across the country for their opinion on the issue. 77% of the women and 56% of the men said they believe the barrier still exists for some women and members of minority groups. Akila Leon Soon is Chief Executive Officer of Advanced Talent Solutions, a company that helps nonprofit groups and government with finding workers. She told VOA, the glass ceiling is very real.
I think that glass ceiling does exist, and I would like for people to even think more about how it impacts women entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs launch businesses and are willing to risk money to make money. The Bank of America survey found that 54% of women small business owners did not feel affected by the glass ceiling, but 46% said they had felt limited by it at some time in their careers. Sharon Miller is head of small business at Bank of America. She told VOA the survey shows that more women small business owners are hopeful about their companies making money than men. And more women than men plan to grow their business over the next 5 years. Miller said that from 2015 to 2016, the number of men small business owners expressing optimism about revenue and growth decline significantly, more than 15 percentage points. Most American companies are small businesses, ones with less than 500 employees. The U.S. Small Business Administration says small businesses make up more than 99% of American companies. Miller says the survey found that women want to operate their own businesses.
When we asked, why did you become an entrepreneur? Why did you open your own small business? Most of the women answered, because I want to be my own boss, because I want to take control of my own destiny.
She added, they found that women were not opening businesses because they were unhappy in their old job.
Those are running toward something, not away. So it wasn't because I was unhappy in my previous role or didn't like it. It's that I wanted to build something for myself.
A big part of getting a business started is finding the capital or money to finance it. Some people may have to use credit cards or borrow money from family or friends or get traditional loans for their businesses. The survey found that more than one in four women still feel they do not have the same access to capital as men. Leon Soon knows about that. She says the first time she went to a bank to get a loan to pay her employees, she was rejected. Now that her company is established, she does not have trouble getting money. But she says people are still surprised to find women in top leadership.
Often I am asked, and people are surprised. They were like, well, can I talk to your boss? I said, I am the boss. They're like, really?
She says people are also surprised when they find out a successful company is led by a woman.
And that shows that as a nation, we have a lot more that we need to do to change the way people view entrepreneurs and how successful women can be.
And that most likely means there is a lot more work to be done to make that glass ceiling disappear. I'm Ann Ball.
Pictures from the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro have been beautiful, but underlying the beauty, there is unrest in Rio and many other parts of Brazil. The country is in the middle of a political and economic crisis. Many Brazilians are feeling the pinch and hurting economically. That is especially true for those who live in Rio's poorest neighborhoods, called favelas. Huberto Sousa spent most of his life renting beach chairs to people visiting Copacabana Beach. In October 2010, he decided to open a bar in the favela of Cantagalo, where he was born and raised. Sousa said he always wanted to work for himself instead of having to depend on others. He said he enjoyed choosing his own hours. In Cantagalo, Sousa is known as the king, so he called his bar King's Castle. The business was successful. Times were good for many businesses in Brazil in 2010. The economy was growing, and many Brazilians entered the middle class for the first time. The median household income grew 87% between 2003 and 2013. Sousa said, during the best times, middle-class people would come and socialize with people in the favela. He said this created an interesting mix of people. That was the best time, but it started to drop off in about 2014, he said. Since that time, Brazil's economy has struggled. Some blame increasing debt and cuts in government spending and investments. The sharp drop in oil prices also might have hurt the economy. Brazilian economist Rodrigo Magalhães said people who recently moved up into the middle class were hurt most by the economic slowdown. When the recession began, it broke the expectation of these people because in the last 10 years they had seen the situation getting steadily better, and then it all collapsed, he said. Hospitals, schools, and other public services also have been hurt. This year, there have been teachers' strikes in Brazil. Students also have occupied schools for weeks, in some cases, to protest problems in the education system. Fabiola Camargo is a teacher. She told VOA teachers have not received a pay raise since 2014. Camargo says the strikes and student occupations have helped each other. The occupations are supporting the strikes just as much as the strikes are supporting the occupations, because they both were wanting improvements in education, she said. Brazil's political crisis is another consideration. The Senate voted 59-21 to move forward with the impeachment trial of President Dilma Rousseff. Lawmakers suspended Rousseff in May over accusations of hiding budget deficits before her re-election in 2014. Her trial is expected to take place late this month. Holding the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro has lifted the spirits of many Brazilians. The beautiful images of Rio's Bay and Olympic facilities have given many a much-needed lift. But the economic situation remains difficult. Preparations for the Games have cost the city billions of dollars. Unemployment in Brazilian cities has reached 8%, and the jobless rate for the whole country is higher. The economy is predicted to shrink by more than 2% in 2016.
The United Nations estimates that more than 45 million people worldwide are refugees. For most of his life, Awad Asiria was a refugee. He was never a citizen of any country. Now he finally has a place to call his home. Asiria became a citizen of the United States last month on July 4th, American Independence Day. It was then that he, his two sons, and 80 other people took the oath of citizenship at a ceremony in Charlottesville, Virginia. Asiria waited more than half a century before becoming a U.S. citizen.
When I passed my test, I'm a cry because this is my dream. 58 years. This is long time. I waiting.
Awad Asiria was born in Iraq. His parents were Palestinian refugees. Before coming to the United States, Asiria and his family lived in Baghdad. There, he operated a successful grocery business with an Iraqi partner. In 2003, the United States and its allies launched a military campaign to disarm Iraq. The U.S.-Iraq War was followed by outbreaks of sectarian violence.
Every day when I open my door, I see dead body in the street. When I go to my store, I see dead body in the street. This is not life.
When Al-Syria's business partner was shot and killed, and his wife was shot in the shoulder, the family got their belongings and left Baghdad.
I closed everything. I don't need anything. I lost all my money, all my business. Only I want to save my son and my family to live. Because I think one day, one month, my son killing.
He and his family came to the United States 6 years ago through the State Department's refugee program. They resettled in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Believe me, first day when I come to America, I don't know what happened from my body. I think this is my country.
Now, Al-Syria works in a grocery store, which is similar to his former business in Iraq. His youngest son also has a part-time job there.
I like this job. I want to give America, because she gave me citizen, I want to give him more. Until now, 6 years, I don't take vacation.
Since becoming U.S. citizens, he and his sons have requested passports for the first time in their lives.
Maybe my God give me more time to live. I want to give America more, because America give me my dream.
I'm Marcia James.
Gianluigi Delaccio operates three gelato shops in the Washington, D.C. area. Each shop is called Dolce Gelati. Shoppers can find his products in local stores and supermarkets. Delaccio is living his dream of bringing gelato to the United States. But it was not easy to get to where he is today. Delaccio grew up in Italy. Before he became interested in making gelato, he was a star athlete. He says that as a water polo player with the Italian national team, he developed a trait of persistence. That drive was helpful when he came to the U.S. in 2000. After his sports career ended, he spent years learning how to make gelato. He learned the business from family members in Germany. Gelato is the Italian word for ice cream. But there are differences between the two frozen desserts. Like ice cream, gelato is made with milk and cream, but mixed together with eggs, sugar, and flavoring. Delaccio perfected his method for making gelato while working in Milan. That is where he became a master gelato maker. He even taught young people in prison how to make gelato so they would have a skill when they were released. It was one thing for Delaccio to arrive in the U.S. with a dream, but it was something different to put the dream into action. First, Delaccio proved himself as a dessert maker with a restaurant in Washington, D.C. He made pastries for an eatery called Galileo. He tried to get a green card, the document that gives a non-citizen the right to work and live permanently in the U.S., but it was a long process. It was very tough, he said. Sometimes you have those days that you feel lonely and sad. It was not until 2006 that he received the important residency document. That was the same year he opened his first gelato shop. But it took time for Washingtonians to learn about his product. Dellaccio went from restaurant to restaurant on an Italian Vespa motorbike. He carried samples of his gelato on a small trailer connected to the back. That is how he gained buyers for the creations he makes in his gelato kitchen. Now Dellaccio has a successful business, and on warm days, his stores are busy with people looking for a cold treat. But he does not want to stop there. Once you reach a goal, you need to put another target to keep going, he said. Because if you reach one goal and you settle, that's the day that you go down. So now, Dellaccio is trying to become the best gelato maker in the world. He is off to a good start. His flavor, saffron pistachio with candied lemon peel, won a prize at the Gelato World Tour event in Chicago earlier this year. The prize gave him a right to return to Italy in 2017 for a competition. The person who makes the best flavor will earn the world championship. I'm Dan Friedel.
The search for new drugs to fight infections has led to a discovery in an unlikely place, in people's noses. What researchers found in noses is a compound called lugdunin. It fights a human bacterium responsible for the superbug infection known as MRSA. MRSA is short for methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. It is considered a superbug because it resists many antibiotic drugs. The result is many people die from the infection. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there are 80,000 cases every year in the United States, and 10,000 people die from MRSA. The journal Nature Microbiology published a report about the discovery of lugdunin last month. The research team reported that the compound, produced by another bacterium, has been effective against the superbug. The Staphylococcus aureus bacterium is commonly known as staph. Many people carry the staph harmlessly in their bodies, in addition to billions of other microorganisms. But it is a different story if this bacterium gets into a person's blood. S. aureus can quickly spread throughout the body with a possibly deadly infection. One place to find staph is in the nose. But the researchers found that 70% of the population does not carry S. aureus. Kim Lewis directs the Antimicrobial Discovery Center at Northeastern University in Massachusetts. He wrote a commentary about the discovery in Nature Microbiology.
So if you have lugdunensis in your nose, chances are you're not going to be carrying Staph aureus. So that was the initial finding of that study.
Just like animals in the wild, bacteria in our bodies compete for survival. The bacterium Staphylococcus lugdunensis fights off S. aureus. But it gets even more interesting. Scientists found that about one-third of the population has S. aureus in their nose. But almost no one with the S. lugdunensis bacterium had any sign of the possibly harmful staph infection. A few people had neither bacterium in their noses. That raises the possibility that there are other bacteria that can defeat staph. And that could mean there are other antibiotic possibilities that researchers have not yet identified. Lewis says there is a simple reason why researchers are looking high and low for new antibacterial drugs.
We want to stay alive. It's the short answer to that question. Pathogens have been acquiring resistance, and that has been spreading. So now pathogens are gaining the upper hand. So we need to sort of get back into the game and figure out other ways to discover new antibiotics.
He notes that antibiotics, many of which are still in use today, were discovered during the early to middle of the 20th century. It is a period known as the Golden Age of Antibiotics. These drugs were made from compounds found in soil, a good place to find microorganisms. So that is where Lewis's Antimicrobial Discovery Center comes in.
Only 1% of soil microorganisms are cultivable. So the rest, the 99, are called the microbial dark matter. So we are going after the microbial dark matter.
Lewis helped create a new method to look for microorganisms that can be made into antibiotics. Last year, Lewis and other researchers discovered the drug Taxobactin. It is an antibiotic that kills a number of bacterium, including Staphylococcus aureus, by destroying their cell walls. More traditional antibiotics attack bacterial proteins. But over time, the microbes can develop mutations. They change and find ways to resist the drugs. Their ability to change makes traditional antibiotics less effective. But when researchers attacked the cell walls, they found no resistance to antibiotics in the animals they studied. This new research means the human body itself might be the source of the new drugs to keep us healthy. I'm Ann Ball.
And that is our program for today. You can follow us on Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel. Search for VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour Universal Time, every day of the year. We hope our program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Mario Ritter, reporting from Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.